You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
2 years ago, church leaders in Toronto, Canada, listened to a shocking report. 3/4 of the parishioners listed on the membership rolls of one denomination confessed that they did not believe in the Christian gospel. And of those who did not attend church regularly, an incredible 60% simply said that worship was not important to them. They explained that on Sundays it does not bother them to skip church, and for them, not to worship God was of no real concern. Instead of expressing thanks to God, they simply remarked that they preferred to spend their Sundays doing other things. How stunningly different this disgusting attitude of unthankfulness is in comparison to the overflowing gratitude expressed by the 24 elders in the book of Revelation. They were not indifferent. They bowed down before the throne of God, and they were not unthankful. They worshipped Him. With one voice, they said, "Worthy art Thou, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power." The Apostle John explains that they did this because they acknowledged that it was God and He alone who has created all things, and that of His will all things now exist. No man has the power to create life, and no person has the authority to raise the dead. Only God alone has the divine authority to grant life and to take it back again. Therefore, if you and I today fail to acknowledge the existence of God, and if we refuse to see His handiwork in the heavens, then a calloused attitude of unthankfulness shall surely be the result. This ungodly attitude is often displayed by many of the atheistic philosophies of our day. For example, during one of the early space flights, a Russian cosmonaut eagerly volunteered his own view about God. He said, "When I rode the rocket up into space, I looked around, but I did not see God anywhere." Now, this clever quip may sound amusing, and to some it may even be convincing. However, let no one approach the day of judgment hoping to be pardoned by simply offering God the alibi that they failed to worship and thank Him because they were unable to find Him. St. Paul destroys that useless excuse when he says in Romans chapter 1, "Since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes and His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. These attributes of God are understood through what has been made, and therefore all men are without excuse." The evidence of God's creation surrounds us every day. In Psalm 19 we read, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." And so at this point in the year, as we draw closer to the end of the 1988 calendar, let each of us pause to honestly re-examine our own attitude about God. For if you and I feel no need to worship Him, then perhaps for us, God is incidental or even inconsequential. But we pray that God, working through His living Word and transforming Spirit, will fill your heart this week with an overflowing attitude of glory and honor toward Him. Truly it is, as our text for today proclaims, God is surely worthy of a celebration of thanksgiving simply because He has created all things. Now, it is not easy to maintain the biblical teaching that God created the entire universe. Popular nature programs, regularly shown on television, are often narrated by hosts who repeatedly, yes, constantly emphasize that the wonders of this world are a product of mere chance and evolution. The impression is also often given that anyone who believes in science could not possibly accept the teachings of the Bible. No one, they imply, could ever possibly embrace the Holy Spirit-inspired teaching of our text for today, that God has indeed created all things. In spite of this atheistic hype, however, let us quickly point out that many God-fearing scientists today openly reject the notion that the Bible and science must conflict. Last year, Dr. Henry Margineau, a professor at Yale University, was interviewed by the highly prestigious magazine, The World and I. This greatly respected Yale scholar was asked whether it would be highly unreasonable for someone to reject the idea of a creator God simply by appealing to science. And the esteemed professor responded by saying, "Oh yes, this would be absolutely unreasonable." This learned man stated emphatically that he saw no conflict whatsoever between the teaching of science and the biblical truth that God has created all things. This debate as to whether the world was created or whether it evolved has raged in every generation. In the 16th century, the English theologian William Paley set forth what has now come to be known as the natural or the logical argument for the existence of God. In his book Natural Theology, Paley argued that it was obvious that a universe such as ours, which has such a grand design, must therefore also have a grand designer, or someone who designed it. This is true, he said, because every time we see a clock, we immediately know that there had to be a clockmaker. A clock could not come into existence and function with perfection all on its own. In this same way, our beautiful universe, with its perfect schedule and unfailing seasons, could never come into existence without God. And so, my friend, the arguments raised up to dispute for or against God as the creator of the world may certainly be interesting to some, but they do not necessarily lead to thankful hearts. And these verbal attempts to persuade one way or the other, do not contain the power to plant saving faith in our hearts. In His holy word, God reminds us that it is neither reason nor logic which guarantees us the true knowledge and full understanding of who He is and what He has so graciously done for us in Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews, we are reminded that it is not by logic that we know of God and His gracious work. Instead, the Bible states, it is by faith. It is by faith that we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And so what does this all mean for us today? In order for carpenters to build a house, a lumber company must first deliver the wood for them to use. The carpenters could not build a house out of nothing. They need something to work with. They need raw materials. But you see, for God it is different. It is totally different for the Lord. In His holy word, God explains that He made, yes, He created the whole world out of nothing. This is not logical, and you and I can understand this miracle of creation only by faith. The writer of the book of Hebrews explains, he said, it is by faith that we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Through his prophet Isaiah, God said, surely my hand founded the earth, and my right hand spread out the heavens. When I call to them, they stand together. And the prophet Jeremiah also spoke, saying, it is He, yes, it is God, who made the earth by His power, who established the world by His wisdom, and by His understanding He has stretched out the heavens. Now it is indeed by faith that we understand that God created the entire universe. And so then it should be our prayer every day to also say, O Lord, let our hearts always acknowledge that You alone have created all things. For when we by faith do this, then the Spirit of God shall cause our hearts to suddenly burst forth with a river of thanksgiving, extolling God and thanking Him endlessly for all the other things He has blessed us with. It is then that we shall be enabled to see also all the other blessings, and to rejoice and to say with the psalmist, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me bless His holy name. You see, God not only created us, the psalmist says, but He pardons all our iniquities. He heals all our diseases. The psalmist reminds us that God redeems our life from the pit. He crowns us with loving kindness and compassion. Yes, God satisfies our ears with good things. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has our gracious God removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. And so, my friend, even if you have never doubted the existence of God, and even if you have never questioned the wonderful works of his hands, you may still wonder at times whether God the Almighty loves you, and you may wonder whether he knows who you are, and you may wonder whether he really cares for you at this hour. Oh, the devil. Yes, the devil often raises these cursed questions in our minds every time we look back on our lives. Our past is littered with mistakes. And who is there in the whole world that can stand up and say, I have lived a perfect life? There is not a righteous man upon the earth who does good and does not sin. And given the chance to do things over again, many of us today would most likely make different decisions. If we lived life over again, we might be a bit more careful as to how we treat our parents in our teenage years. If we lived life over again, we might be a little more cautious when we select our marriage partner. We might be much more constructive as we speak about our spouse. Oh yes, the list of corrections we might make would go on and on and on. But there is no value in harboring the useless idea of constantly wishing that one could relive life. The important thing is to emphasize and to concentrate daily on the thought openly expressed from the thank-filled heart of the psalmist who said, God pardons our iniquities. He redeems our life from the pit. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions, our sins, and our failures from us. Oh, my friend, let the Spirit of God open your heart today, and even if the devil discourages you by failure, and even if the evil one tries to get you to give up by reminding you of your past mistakes, especially then, grasp the promise of God spoken through the prophet Isaiah, who said, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. For though your sins are as scarlet, they will be as white as snow. And even though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. Your past is over. Your past is behind you. And now it is time for you to look ahead. It is time for you to look up. In a sincere attitude of godly repentance, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, throw all your memories of previous mistakes and failures at the foot of the crucifixion cross. And then by faith claim the promise of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Savior's blood has the divine power to cleanse you and me from all of our sins and mistakes. You are forgiven, my friend. Jesus paid for every one of your mistakes when he died on the cross. In Christ, you have a perfect pardon. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It is truly as the hymn writer wrote, Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood avails for me. Oh, see all your sins on Jesus laid. The Lamb of God was slain. His blood was once an offering made for every soul of man. And so then, my friends, let this week be a week of thanksgiving and celebration for you and for your entire family. God has created you and the entire universe. He has also redeemed you from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. With this knowledge from God, may we say with the Apostle Paul, God did not spare his own Son, but instead he delivered him up to the cross for our salvation. And since God has done this supreme act of sacrifice, he shall certainly then, with Jesus, freely give us all the other things that we need in life. Today is a day of celebration. This week is a week of celebration. And so today, my friend, is your day of thanksgiving. Your sins are forgiven. And as you thank God today, live in his eternal peace, made possible in the sin-cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord this week, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever and forever. Amen.